Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. I am Dr. Mystery, your host, board-certified urologist, men's health expert, all-around great guy, joined by my co-host, Donna Lee.
That's right. Welcome to the show, everybody. The Armour Men's Health Show. It used to be the hour, but now it's the show.
It's really a great honor for me to be able to do the show with you every week. Aww, Donna, you're amazing. You have such a commitment to the practice that we've grown since 2007 and is the sponsor of this show. Mm-hmm. That practice is NAU Urology Specialist. Why don't you tell people about our practice?
First of all, you're stuck with me. And second of all, you can reach out to us by phone 512-238-0762. Our practice was founded 2007 by Dr. Mystery, 15 wonderful, magical years ago. We're in Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, and Dripping Springs, Texas. Our shiny new website's armormenshealth.com.
We have patients that visit us from all over the country. They both visit us as patients. They visit us via the website and try to ask us questions. Mm-hmm. We love it. We love such a great outpouring of support. They love the show. I've had men cry in the office mm-hmm. talking about how nobody would want to talk about their funny-looking penis or their buried penis or their erectile dysfunction or their delayed ejaculation or all these things that like kind of really speak to them so deeply, mm-hmm. but they just can't speak to anybody like that.
Right. Well, now they have you.
And then, and even like their sexual proclivities, they don't know that they can share with anybody. So we love being able to be that resource for you and really like a holistic approach to men's health.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we have a very, very special guest in my life today.
He really represents the kind of person that we like to take care of, mm-hmm. which is the pain in the ass patient. It is, you know, like a lot of doctors, they like, and they, you know, you're the boss, right?
Right.
We've heard doctors say that I'm the captain of the ship.
Right.
They walk in there with their shiny white coat and say, you have this, this, and this. You need this done. And they walk out and the guy gets scheduled for surgery. And it sounds like that's going to be wonderful. And then sometimes you get that guy that just doesn't do a damn thing that you want him to do.
Oh.
And you got to really do your little, you know, calisthenics to get him happy. Chris Wren, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Mystery.
So, Chris, you have a lot of very personal connections with our practice. We're friends personally, and then, of course, as a patient of ours. You first came to us because you had some abnormal lab tests. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
So you went to your primary care doctor, and you had a PSA test that was abnormal.
Yeah, my primary care doctor, I was with him for about 20 years, and we started to monitor my PSAs way back, probably in the early 2000s, because I had some ups and downs with it, and it just kind of settled out.
And so the number was high, and undeniably somebody suggested you see a urologist, and some urologists suggest you get a biopsy, but you were kind of reticent to proceed with that. Is that right?
When I saw my doctor the last time, just before he retired, he was looking at my PSAs, and they were up around 7 or something, and he called me back after I visited him one day, and he said, hey, I just don't like this, and I'd like to recommend some urologist to you. And I said, well, who are they? Because I didn't have a urologist at the time. So he gave me 3 urologists, and I sort of hemmed and hawed around about it. And then, lo and behold, I mentioned this to Donna at a party we were at, and I said, you know, I need a urologist. She said, I got one for you.
I'd like to interject, I am his daughter-in-law.
And I would like to interject that you guys talk about weird things at parties.
so family parties at that.
It wasn't a deep cut.
So if I had to just kind of inquire as to kind of some just kind of insight from my patients, like when you're given information that you have abnormal lab tests and you need to see a urologist, what kind of thoughts go through your head?
Not really too much. I guess I don't get too excited about it. I've monitored my health for a long, long time just because it happened that way.
And I think that that's a lot of patients, you know, as our population's getting older and older, I think a lot of people are taking better care of themselves. They expect more out of themselves.
Yeah. A little backstory on that. I used to work for Dow Chemical and many years ago, but as you reached a certain level of management within Dow, and then you had to have your annual physicals and stress tests and so forth, and that really began. I don't even know if PSAs were common at that time, back in the 70s and 80s. But anyway, long story short, that sort of set me on a track to take care of myself for the rest of my life.
So fast forwarding, we ultimately diagnosed you with prostate cancer after doing a prostate biopsy. And then when you had that prostate cancer diagnosis, what kinds of things went through your head? What were you afraid of? You know, what was some of your thinking process?
I wasn't entirely surprised, you know. I think I was a little bit emotional about it in the beginning, and then, you know, I felt like, hey, we're going to get on the track with this. We're going to do something about it. I was resolved to do something about it, and I think the first step, of course, was to do a biopsy, as you suggested. So
we did that biopsy, and you were given a diagnosis, and I think a lot of men kind of respond to that information differently. I've seen people completely ignore it and they don't care. I've seen people break down completely emotionally. It's just kind of, I think a lot of times people bring baggage about what a cancer diagnosis means to them kind of into that meeting.
It was kind of funny. I wasn't really that upset about it. Well, for one thing, the grade of the cancer was low, and it was isolated. I think that was the case at the time. And I just sort of, let's press on. I'm kind of built that way. I just say, well, got to do something about this, and whatever we're going to do, let's
That's a good lesson for our listeners.
And so we talked about different treatment options. We talked about radiation, surgery, and ultimately we talked about high-intensity focused ultrasound, which we use ultrasound technology that goes through the rectum to take care of the prostate. And that's ultimately what we went through. But, you know, the kind of calculus that was going on in your head was you're so functional. You love to travel. You want to retain your sexual function, which I think that, you know, maybe as people get over the age of 70, their urologist may not think that that's as important to them. But you know, as I always say, my favorite patient is the 80-year-old that's trying to have sex, right?
Dr. Mister loves giving an 80-year-old a hard-on.
Giving 80-year-olds hard-ons. And so for me, understanding what the ultimate goals of the patient are so important, and also not leaking and trying to balance, you know, side effects and treatment efficacy.
Well, you know, I didn't really have much of any symptoms. Urination was an issue only in to the extent that I had urgency at times, dribbled. But as far as, you know, I didn't have any other issues. It was like, I've got cancer, but I don't have any
symptoms. And that is the truth for most patients with prostate cancer. In fact, if you have symptoms, then that's kind of a really, really, really bad sign. Mm-hmm. So most patients with prostate cancer, you waited too long. So most patients with prostate cancer are not going to have symptoms. You know, following the recommendations of your doctor, I think the only thing that I would have wanted is maybe an earlier referral when your PSA was a little bit over 4, but that's just because I like to catch people as early as possible.
Right.
And then really communicating with your urologist and your doctor, like, what are your treatment outcomes? Is it to live as long as possible, or is it to maximize your quality of life? And do you feel that doctors are kind of getting better about understanding these things?
I think it depends on the doctor.
I was going to say, which doctor? Yeah.
I'm just thinking about, I have a cardiologist, I have a primary doctor, and they are younger doctors. There are times when I feel like they're not available, you know, when I'd like to see them. I was sort of spoiled with my primary doctor of 20 years. He had a small practice. You could call him at a drop of a hat and get in to see him. But I feel that way about you guys. I mean, I can call him and say, I've got a problem, and it's just taken care of. So,
because you know somebody who works there.
Yes. No, and it's because we're a small practice who loves everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. So I just think I've got a lot of attention from people in the practice, everybody. I'm very happy.
So once you were diagnosed with prostate cancer, we ultimately decided to proceed with high-intensity focused ultrasound treatment for your prostate cancer. Is that right?
Yes. We had gone through 3 biopsies over the course of, 3 years.
Yeah, so it wasn't an immediate thing.
It wasn't an immediate thing, and my PSAs started to climb, and they got up to, at one point, it got up as high as 12 and kind of rocked back down to 10.
And the cancer diagnosis got a little worse,
and
too.
And the cancer diagnosis jumped up a little bit.
And I heard that biopsies are super fun.
Oh, I tell you, they're a lot of fun. Actually, I told Dr. Mystery, I said, hey, you know what? I really did not want to do a biopsy in the office. And I certainly didn't want to do a cystoscope in the office, having had that experience before. So anyway, we worked that out and went to the hospital and did that pretty cool thing where you...
You do an MRI guidance biopsy, which was really cool.
Right, right.
And how old were you at your ultimately when we treated you?
78.
So 78 and super functional. You want to maintain your ability to travel, your ability to kind of take as much as you can from life. And so we decided that a more minimally invasive approach like high-intensity focused ultrasound might work.
Right.
But your prostate was too big. We need to have a prostate that's a little smaller for it to work. And then you were already having some urinary symptoms. So
correct.
Uniquely amongst our patients, you chose to do something called prostate artery embolization to shrink your prostate.
Yes.
Maybe tell me, like, if you had to describe it to the listeners, how would you describe what prostate artery embolization is?
It's actually a fairly easy procedure. If you've ever had a catheterization for heart, this is the opposite. You're trying to stay alive with catheterization in your heart, that procedure, versus this one is you're trying to cut off the blood supply, some portion of blood supply to your prostate. Interventionist radiologist performs the procedure. They go in through your groin area up to your prostate.
It's good enough.
Yeah, no, prostrate. I was prostrate at the
time. You were prostrate at the time.
On the table. And I was partially under. It lasted about an hour and 10 minutes. I didn't feel a thing. And
that's what she said.
It was very successful. I walked out of the office.
That's awesome.
My prostate ended up shrinking by half.
It's amazing. Yeah. And so in order to be a candidate for this high-intensity focused ultrasound, we need to shrink the prostate. And so one of the options that we have is to Roto-Rooter it out, called the TURP. We can use the water jet called Aquablation. And then, again, uniquely, because many urologists don't offer prostate artery embolization because it's not done by urologists, so I don't make the money.
Right, right.
So
right.
We partner with Advantage IR. We sent you to them. They accomplished what we needed, which was to reduce the size of your prostate. Now, what happened to your urinary issues? You used to have urgency and some dribbling.
It just virtually went away. As I guess I could go back and say I had a 20-year-old bladder now.
That's good.
Hey,
so, wait a minute.
But no, I think it was very successful.
That's wonderful. A lot of patients tell me that their erections are better afterwards. Did you notice anything improving on your erections?
I'm going to put earmuffs on my ears since we're related.
I think it was even better after HIFU.
Yeah.
But I would say that I don't have any trouble getting an erection.
Well, that's good.
Now, there's a testimonial. We're going to single that audio out
that
and just
smirk,
put that on the commercial.
Smirk on his face. We're going to put his face on the billboard.
I don't get any trouble getting an erection.
He's my favorite
patient. On the other side of that, you know, that's I'm 79 years old, almost 80, and sustaining an erection, you need a little help sometimes. And so
We got you. One over here.
And so, as we say, I love nothing more than giving an 80-year-old an erection.
But as far as the procedure is concerned, it was one of the easiest things I've ever done.
So for those of you out there that have an enlarged prostate, are worried about going through a surgery that you may need a catheter for, or you've heard horror stories and you want to learn more about prostate artery embolization, please reach out to us. We have a wonderful webinar that we've done on it. We have a great partner in Advantage IR that we can send you to.
That's right. We do monthly webinars. And if you want a copy of the webinar, just email me at armormenshealth.com.
Yeah. And then afterwards, after the prostate shrunk, we did that high-intensity focused ultrasound. That's where we used ultrasound energy just to target where the cancer was. Why don't you describe what that process was like?
Okay. A very short duration, went into hospital, was put under anesthesia. I think it took
took less than an hour and a half to do it.
Yeah, less than an hour and a half.
And then you woke up and you had a catheter.
I had a catheter, and I had to wear the catheter for a week. The good news on that was I had home health care, so I had a nurse come every day to check me out, make sure everything is right, and I wouldn't have any problems with the catheter. And at the end of 7 days, took the catheter out, and I urinated immediately.
Thank goodness.
And thank goodness. And did have some passage of blood, some small clots and so forth. And over the course of time had, you know, blood was being ejaculated or urinary through urination.
Yeah, because blood in your semen after that kind of procedure is not uncommon, a little bit of blood in the urine.
And you For how long? A week or two?
It can last up to 6 weeks to 12 weeks.
It was probably a month.
Yeah, it can last
for a while. And it just gradually just sort of dissipated.
It goes through different color stages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you had an excellent outcome from two procedures that many of our listeners, you know, not just in the Austin area, but all across the nation aren't going to hear about. Prostate artery embolization is probably only offered maybe in 10 or 15 markets in the United States. And HIFU, there's only 20 machines in the entire country. So if you don't live near one, or you haven't been told of one, or your urologist doesn't do it, you're never going to hear about these things.
Right, right.
And so, you know, if you were to go back and think about the things that men can be afraid of when it comes to accessing their urologic health, do you have any kind of advice to them about what they should be doing and thinking about? Or what kind of things they should look for in a doctor?
Well, I think the first thing they should be doing is monitoring their PSAs. The digital rectal exam is sort of kind of fallen out of favor, I think.
Yeah, we call it the urologist handshake.
The urologist handshake.
Just so you know that I care about you.
And I believe you also call it that, that thing that they digitally do is the beast.
The beast.
The beast.
The beast.
Wow. I don't call it the beast.
I'm going to start calling you the beast. hey, everybody, the beast is here.
If you pay extra, you get two fingers.
Hey.
No, I think monitoring it, early detection is extremely important. And it's the old deal is I don't want to hear anything but good news. Well, you have to hear bad news.
Sometimes there's going to be some bad news. Huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and bad news. If you don't know there's anything wrong with you, you're not going to treat it. You're not going to seek help. So first of all, you need to stay in tune with your body, and you need to get annual results typically on PSAs. And from that, then you can consult with your great urologist.
Well, there are a few people that I want to be when I grow up, and you're one of them, Chris. You know, my dad used to work for Dow Chemical, so I feel even a stronger connection.
Really?
He sure did.
Wow.
And I can't thank you enough for joining us and sharing your experience. It just kind of illustrates both the connection we love to have with our patients, but more importantly, the kind of cutting-edge technology and the open-mindedness of our patients that we just really appreciate. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Donna, how do people get a hold of us? How do people become our patients and share that same experience?
Oh, to have this warm, loving experience that you can also have, call us at 512-238-0762. You can also ask for me, and you can visit our website, armormenshealth.com. Check out our podcasts wherever you listen to free podcasts. They're all amazing and award-winning, and thank you both so much.
Thank you.
The Armour Men's Health Show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.